carefully. Elizabeth, Cuthbert Carefully and I are bringing you The Divided Kingdom, the hard-hitting Christian viewpoint news program heard on WWCR 4.840 MHz at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. The Divided Kingdom is also heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern and repeating at 11 p.m. Be sure to visit our archives to hear past programs at thedividedkingdom.org. We've been tracking the global One World Government plan since October of 2003. We covered some of the inside job indicators of 9/11 of 2001 in our last program. One time years back, perhaps around 2005 or 2006, an internet site listed the three most crucial Patriot programs. Our program was listed as one of them. That particular broadcast featured Elizabeth and I interviewing military man Al Cuthbert, our late co-host Pastor Carl Sanders, and Paul, an Arkansas man who had witnessed troubling drills. This was during the time of the great bird flu scare. Paul described how people were delineated and grouped and moved on a course, eventually having gates, similar to cattle gates, closing on them more and more. Pastor Carl interviewed Paul extensively before doing the program, ascertaining that Paul appeared to be a completely truthful, sincere Christian. Under the Trump administration, we'd like to think that all of the hidden nefarious aspects of the New World Order's dirty tricks, sabotage, and martial law prep have quieted, gone underground, or died. But that may not be so. At the time of Hurricane Katrina, we saw the sabotage and post-flood delays of FEMA. Even more startling were some amazing meteorological reports that suggest the possibility of Katrina whirling around for a double whammy, that possibility was bioengineered. You know, just the way you and I have seen on a daily basis, the end of blue skies overhead with the perennial chemtrails. Aluminum, barium, JPF jet fuel, mycoplasmic fungi spores, and Satan knows what else being sprayed out of the jets. Globalist puppet Rahm Emanuel's memorable statement still stands as a vigilant warning. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. What about Hurricane Harvey, Elizabeth? Before we get into the huge human disaster it is and the need for all of us to pray for the people, so touching, that Instagrams of people seeking missing loved ones are flooding the internet.
Yes, and the catastrophe is very, very great. We've heard some of the reporters with Alex Jones. Some of them went right down into the area, I think, on kayaks. And, you know, they've been reporting that over 50 inches of rain fell and many, many people are missing. But even in this, we have to highly question the reactions of the Houston Democratic mayor, Sylvester Turner. He said that it was nonsensical to think of evacuating the city of Houston, and he opposed Governor Abbott, who asked President Trump, you know, to send in FEMA. Now, if we are going to be fair, he later said that he couldn't envision 6 million people being on the road. It would just be dreadful. But the point is, with all of the advance meteorological information we have these days, they knew what was coming far enough in advance that he could have said there is a voluntary evacuation and let the chips fall where they may. He said, I believe, that he categorized voluntary evacuation as nonsensical. Now, to us, this looks very much like a stand down, doesn't it, Lou? Sort of like in Baltimore with the rioting, sort of like Charlottesville when the police didn't do anything.
Yes, it was all too obvious. In those riots in Baltimore, the police were absolutely told, do nothing. Just let the rioters burn, burn, burn. Just let the people loot the stores. Don't step in.
And when we're tracing the route roots of this conspiracy. We have to call it a plot because it is real. It's not something that should be denigrated. But even the word conspiracy is used in the Bible. God says, I believe in Ezekiel somewhere, there's a conspiracy. And I think they're like raging lions, if I recall that correctly. So we are in that. And at the same time, we have this statement there, you see, from Mayor Turner. We also had the AP reporting. Now, we're coming to you on August 31st. So Monday, August 28th, the Associated Press was reporting this. William, quote, Brock Long, administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, said that although Houston was taking the brunt of the catastrophic rainfall, it was important to remember that, quote, there are many communities inside the state of Texas that are hurting. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Long said FEMA was prepared to be in Texas, quote, for years. Did you hear that, listeners? For years, adding, quote, this disaster recovery, this disaster is going to be a landmark event. We're setting up and gearing up for the next couple of years. You know what I had to think when I wrote my book, America Attack, Patriots Warning 1? I quoted Joseph Dunbar, and he was the attaché for Afghanistan. And he said maybe we could use this event to get everybody aboard, something about to save the world or help the world. Is this an agenda? Right here, when William Brock Long, the administrator of this FEMA, says that FEMA will be in Texas for years. This disastrous, it is disastrous, his words were, this disaster recovery, quote, this disaster is going to be a landmark event. We're setting up and gearing up for the next couple of years. Now, you know, that might be an innocent remark, a good man who's really a humanitarian and he loves his people there in Texas. But even so, innocent people can be used. When we think of Rahm Emanuel saying, let's not let a crisis go to waste, things can be used by the diabolical intent to keep them there for years, just the way we fear that President Trump is having the wool pulled over his eyes to put us right back in that Afghanistan quagmire. We heard Joel Skousen on InfoWars, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, and he said that for years, war material and things have been accumulating in Azerbaijan. This is probably part of a long-term globalist NWO plan. We're in there maybe for the rest of my lifetime, maybe the rest of your lifetime. And if you appreciate this program, Lou and I struggle to finance this. And you notice you don't have to listen to incessant commercials. You don't have to wait 3 hours to get the small bit of information that you could have gotten in 20 minutes. No, we try to prepare and we try to have hard-hitting information that we give to you because we care about you as a remnant. And we all need each other's prayers. We need each other's prayers as Christians with the North Korean situation. This is really, really dreadful with Kim Jong-un shooting off a missile that went over Japan. Alex Jones pointed out that this is really highly provocative to have something go over the entire country and then land in the water. And he said, what would happen if Russia did that to us or we did that to Russia? And the other very, very sobering comment, and this happened today on yesterday, because you're hearing us a day later, it happened on August 30th, Wednesday, that the information came out that Russia is evacuating a large number of its cities on its eastern part. Now, does someone know something? And we have to interrupt this to say that Time magazine reported that there are 200 Americans who've been living in North Korea, and a lot of them are Christian organizations based there trying to help the people, but they have till September 1st to get out. This article was written by Elizabeth Dias, or Dias, D-I-A-S, in Time magazine for September 4th, 2017. They're told to get out. Do we know that something's going to come? And this deserves your most intense prayer for all of us, because we really don't know what will happen. In an earlier Time magazine in July, when they were questioning whether the U.S. would have to bomb its way out of this, and Alex Jones said they'd have to take out the whole DMZ if they do this. Now, just think what that could be. And the most immediate, this is Time magazine stating this, the most immediate at-risk Americans beyond those living in South Korea and Japan are the Alaskans, who are betting that the U.S. anti-missile defenses can intercept an incoming nuclear weapon. Alaska Governor Bill Walker has toured the missile base at Fort Greely and tells Time that he has confidence in the military's ability to defend his state of about 740,000 people. I hope and pray that's right. We remember many years ago watching a video of Henry Groover, and he's that Christian who has walked and prayed over the land in many countries, and he saw a vision of the nuclear missiles coming up over Alaska. So I do think this is a time that we must pray very much. Each one of you needs to repent. We all need to repent every day for our sinful actions, our sinful plots, our sins of omission. Some of you think you aren't sinners, but we all are. We need to pray that God will extend his mercy a little longer. In fact, I would like to ask Lou for this specific prayer that this North Korean situation will be put under God's mercy. Lou, and will you please pray along with Lou?
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we just pray that you will prevent a full-scale war from breaking out. With the situation in Korea right now, North Korea in particular, this is probably the most dangerous time I've ever been in my life, except for the Cuban Missile Crisis, perhaps. And it could easily break out into an all-out nuclear war in which who knows how many thousands, millions of people might be killed. So we pray, Lord, that peace will come, that the leaders in North Korea will realize that they are facing something that they don't want to begin. We just pray that, O Lord, that you'll bring peace to the world, and in particular, peace to this region of the world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
And we said we'd talk a little bit about the human aspect of what happened with Harvey. The AP article says, in a stream of public safety messages on social media, officials urged residents escaping rising water to climb to their roofs, not their attics, and to carry axes and hammers. Quote, there is flooding all over the city, Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo said in a live stream video early Sunday morning, noting the rain was likely to continue for hours. Please, please, please stay home. In the darkness, Acevedo waded across a flooded parking lot at an apartment complex near Greens Bayou. Hey, is there anybody up there who wants to go? He hollered. Emergency responders carrying flashlights were moving scores of residents, including the elderly and small children, to safety by boat, he said. But some residents on the second floor decided to stay. Look how high this is, Acevedo said as his camera scanned the flooded parking lot. I'm 6 foot tall and I'm waist deep. A little later, he sighed. It breaks your heart for our city and our state, he said. But it's Texas. We'll get through it. And I remember Acevedo very well because in earlier years, Alex Jones, you'd like to bring him on. I think at that time he was the mayor of Austin. And he'd bring him on and they would have a little argument back and forth because Acevedo was more of a globalist. And Alex, you could tell, liked him, but liked to ruffle his feathers. And, you know, we need to pray for some of these men who maybe were straddling the fence. And then it takes something like this to show them who they are. We're Americans. They're Texans. But how about the Christian community? How did it react? Well, first of all, we had the report on Joel Osteen and his mega church. I think he has something like 16,000 seats in his big church. And the early reports were that he refused to open his church to house people. And instead, he said, no, lean on your faith. Well, according to Alex Jones, he says that's the name it and claim it preacher, the glitterbug wife and the glitterbug church and the magical thinking. Well, later, we heard that Joel had a quote, Joel Osteen, "Jesus promises us peace when it passes our understanding." A lot of critics got very angry, and he was claiming that the church was inaccessible, I think because of the water. And I don't know whether Alex Jones followed through on his intent with all that's going on there and with North Korea, that situation blowing up. He was going to check whether that was true, whether they could get to the area. Well, then a little later, I believe there was a little back down, and now Osteen was saying, we'll issue air mattresses. What about the Good Samaritan? In my Bible, that person was supposed to help the other one. You see, we're little people. You are too, or you wouldn't be listening on shortwave. We have a good update from another Christian program, but that Christian program just dumped the shortwave listeners completely because they didn't pay much money. This is a growing, large Christian program now. It's probably the largest news program from a Christian viewpoint in the world, but it's everybody with the smartphones. It's everybody with the money who will contribute. But, you know, Lou and I don't operate like that. We don't like it. We've been dumped in radio. We've been mistreated. But we've also seen what I tell you was class, a class act with Dr. Stan Monteith, who treated us the way he would treat people, being the gentleman he was. He was really a great person. And we like that. And we hope that we never mistreat anyone. I felt guilty that we let someone go some years ago, and his father was mentioned tonight on our program, a wonderful political analyst, but we felt at that time we were presenting more of the Christian religion and less news, and we felt that we could not bring a Mormon background in to a person we had on regularly, almost like a co-host, and we had to let that young man down. And I've always felt sorry about that. We prayed that there would be no harm come to him spiritually or emotionally. But sometimes we must make these decisions, and we tried to do that in a straightforward way. But this idea of just dumping people, and then you never hear about them again. Some of these hosts, they have people on, and they extol them, and then they disappear. They never say goodbye. They're never allowed to say goodbye. With us, you know you're getting what we are. We might not be first rate because we can't get all the inside information from the CIA and from the top sources that Alex Jones has of the military men, but we've got some. We've got some good ones with Daryl Eberhardt, Captain Daryl Eberhardt, and just using the brains that God gave us. You know, when we see these things, we have to talk about them. And are they part of a conspiracy? Lou, I believe you have a little bit more now.
Those of you listeners who are alert can sometimes find hidden meaning by reading between the lines of the lying mainstream press, or even the naive, duped ones who are in the mainstream media and aren't fully in charge and knowledgeable that they are presenting an agenda. Even some truth may peer up with tiny eyes over a dark wall in Amazon's Jeff Bezos' CIA-dominated Washington Post. This headline reveals a concern, and the headline is, "Time to find out why Navy crashes are happening." For a state-of-the-art U.S. Navy destroyer to collide with a slow-moving tanker ship, there must be multiple failures of operations and personnel, from the enlisted seaman managing lookout posts to the captain of the ship. That it has happened twice in 2 months to the Asia-based 7th Fleet, with a tragic loss of up to 17 lives, suggests broader and deeper maladies in the fleet, and perhaps in the Navy more generally. About the only good thing that can be said following the recent crash of the USS John S. McCain with an oil tanker near Singapore, which left 10 sailors missing, is that senior commanders appear to recognize the severity of their problem. Navy Admiral John Richardson, the Chief of Naval Operations, quickly ordered an, quote, operational pause, unquote, and a fleet-wide study of operational tempo, performance, maintenance, equipment, and personnel. That review must be unsparing, and Congress should study its results when it considers defense spending plans. An initial review by the Navy of the collision of the destroyer, USS Fitzgerald, off the coast of Japan in June, suggested multiple personnel failures. To its credit, the service moved quickly to discipline a dozen sailors, including the two top officers and the top enlisted sailor, even while the investigation of the incident continues. Among other things, the Fitzgerald's commander was not on the bridge when the crash occurred, though protocol requires the captain's presence when other ships are passing nearby. Like the Fitzgerald, the McCain was traveling in a heavily trafficked sea lane in darkness when the collision occurred, making human error more likely. But there is also reason to question whether the Seventh Fleet has systemic problems. It has now recorded four major accidents this year, including the grounding of the cruiser USS Antietam on January 31st in Tokyo Bay, and the May 9th collision of the San Diego-based cruiser USS Lake Champlain with a fishing boat off the Korean Peninsula. The fleet, like the Navy at large, is stretched thin. It is charged with challenging Chinese expansion in the South China Sea with, quote, freedom of navigation, unquote, patrols, and must be prepared for possible confrontation with North Korea. By the Navy's reckoning, there are simply not enough ships to manage the growing threats in the Pacific, as well as from Russia, Iran, and other potential antagonists. The service now commands 277 vessels, less than half the number it had at the end of the Cold War, and concluded last December that it needs 355. However, the Navy could find it difficult to obtain the $25 billion, that's with a B, billion, annually it would cost to expand the fleet, according to a study by the Congressional Budget Office. That would amount to 60% more than the average amount budgeted for ship construction over the past 30 years. If construction funding remains constant, the Navy will have to settle for 74 fewer new ships than the 254 wants to buy in the coming 30 years, the CBO found. As it is, the Navy will be more hard-pressed than ever in the Pacific in the coming months, with two of the 7th Fleet's destroyers out of action. This makes it vital that commanders act quickly to identify and remedy the problems in personnel and operations that have enabled these tragic accidents. That was from the Washington Post, Tuesday, August 29th, 2017. In Europe, we see clearly that George Soros-funded and UN-abetted plan to destroy European Christian civilization and culture by flooding that continent with now over 5 million Muslim immigrants, largely military-age men. America's guns have not been taken yet, like in England and Australia, so other termite weakening attacks must erode the populist middle class first. We hear that the globalist elite are trying assiduously to crash the economy under Trump's watch. But there's a new center move, isn't there, Elizabeth?
Yes, it's center because it's central to Trump. It's a counter move, Lou. And that was done today. Really, it was yesterday again, because, again, we're coming to you on August 31st. But at Springfield, Missouri, President Donald Trump gave a speech on tax reform. And he talked about the meaning of Route 66, which was right there, how Americans were working and supporting their families. And he talked about the Europeans being sad about their 8 or 9 GDP score. And he said that we have now hit 3% in GDP. And Trump said that we were at 1%, and that Obama never, never hit 3%, and that he is fully committed to working with Congress to get this tax reform. And he said, quote, "I don't want to be disappointed." I believe that was a clear message to McConnell and the others. And he talked about streamlining the tax code, making it simple, fair, easy to understand, getting rid of the loopholes, and that the last major rewrite was 31 years ago. And now this big behemoth has 2,600 pages in it, the regulations, the tax regulations. It's massive. And more than 90% of Americans, he said, have to get professional help on their taxes. And he wants it to benefit hardworking Americans. And he also said he wants higher wages to give Americans the pay raise they need. And he told about the historicity there during the Reagan years in 1986 when Reagan cut our corporate tax rate to 34%. Well, in a way, that was great, but there were a lot of imitators, and they took it farther, and then it didn't benefit us. The other countries zoomed to cut their taxes to be more competitive with us. And China now has an unbelievable low tax rate, according to Trump. So we're happy to see him moving that agenda along and letting the people know that he is for them, and that perhaps Steve Bannon's quote in Time magazine that what we elected Trump to do is now over is only the disgruntled feelings of one person who's not there. We hope and pray that's the case. August 16th, the AP reported that Trump would streamline the infrastructure projects, and this was good, too. That it was revoking an earlier executive order signed by Obama that projects built in floodplains with federal aid take sea level rise driven by climate change into account in their design. And he said that's overblown. So actually, this kind of streamlining is going to let some of these things get made faster. There will be some loopholes, I think, cut out so that there isn't this years and years and years of delay. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao has said that regulations, not a lack of funding, are a primary holdup faced by transportation infrastructure projects. And so, again, that seems to back up what we're saying, that we will have this streamlined and some things will go through. And now I think I'm back to Lou, I believe.
Again, another Washington Post article presents a positive picture of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Justice Department getting more of a backbone, what we ordinary middle America people need, an advocacy against Soros, anti-fascist groups, and other weathermen, Marxist-type violent leftists. Once again, the headline, DOJ not cracking down on Trump protesters. The news sounded horrifying. Federal prosecutors last month demanded wide-ranging electronic records regarding anyone who visited Disrupt, and this is the website, disruptj20.org, a website devoted to protesting President Donald Trump's January 20th inauguration. An astonishing 1.3 million people could be exposed. The website's host, a Los Angeles company called DreamHost, was fighting the government's data order. Yet on Thursday, a judge ruled for the government. Actually, the story is more complicated, particularly after the government offered some needed assurances in a brief it released in advance of Thursday's ruling. It should first be clear whom the government is targeting. D.C. prosecutors, technically in the Justice Department, but effectively local district attorneys, are investigating rioting that occurred after Trump's swearing in. Violent protesters committed tens of thousands of dollars in property damage and assaulted police officers. Some 20 people faced charges. I'm sorry, let me correct that. Some 200 people faced charges. If the government were demanding data on the peaceful women's march on Washington, that would suggest a crackdown on dissenters. But local prosecutors are investigating serious violations of public order that cannot be considered legitimate dissent in a rule of law society. Moreover, unlike other controversial episodes that have raised concerns about electronic privacy, the government is not operating in secret or behind the back of the judiciary. Rather, investigators obtained a warrant from a Superior Court judge in the district, compelling DreamHost to turn over information from a website they have reason to believe was used, quote, to coordinate and to privately communicate among a focused group of people whose intent included planned violence, unquote, according to the government's brief. Though the government is asking for a large amount of data on DisruptJ20.com and its users, that is only the warrant's first stage. After getting a library of electronic records, the court has authorized prosecutors to seize only particular evidence, only that relating to a crime, the writing and associated with those involved in committing that crime. Aaron Kerr, a cyber law specialist at George Washington University and a Washington Post blogger, writes, quote, courts have broadly allowed the government to follow this two-step procedure, in which they get all the stuff in the initial stage of electronic evidence warrants so that they can search it for the relevant evidence, unquote. This does not mean all of DreamHost's concerns should be ignored. Courts must avoid chilling free speech and free association with overbroad warrants that discourage people from visiting protest websites for fear that data will be revealed and misused. The government is asking for a massive trove of information, much of which will have nothing to do with January's rioting. The government appropriately narrowed and clarified its information request in its latest brief, assuring that it would seal away any data it collected that is irrelevant to the criminal investigation. This clarification makes the government's case substantially stronger, and Thursday's ruling is reasonable. Yet, clarification should not have been necessary. It should have been crystal clear before Thursday that a constitutionally reasonable search would restrict investigators from using incidental information they collected in the first stage of a computer warrant, especially when a lack of such a restriction would discourage free speech and association. The courts and Congress should contemplate how to make this a clear rule of the road.
This sounds the way our country ought to operate under the Constitution. Looking for the truth, but doing it in a legal way. It's a little different from Maxine Waters mentioning that Robert Mueller is ours. Now, what in the world did that mean? Maxine Waters, the Democrat. We're not supposed to have partiality. We're not supposed to have conflicting interests. But we're going to have to watch all the situations. And when we get back to this thread of the conspiracy, we're always looking underneath to see what's happening. It's not always obvious. A listener wrote to us, I think it's like a parable, sometime back, I think around last Christmas, and she told about in her town, Boyertown, Pennsylvania, that there was an open house there. I read that wrong. She wasn't talking about an open house at that place, but she also talked about the opera house that was there in their town, and there was a terrible fire in 1908. 170 people died in that fire, and many others were seriously burned or injured trying to escape. That tragedy changed the laws for the state, if not the country, that all public building doors had to open outward. At the Rhodes Opera House, they opened inward, so the people piled up at the door trying to escape. Now, I think we have to be careful that the doors aren't closing inward on all of us. When we told you about that bird flu drill, we also know about other things. A friend told us during the time of the election between Bush and Gore that their friend, and these are people we totally trust, near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the police had martial law signs. And Lou and I have seen other signs during the years. We have to bring up again how Al Cuppett always talked about these metric road markers. And I sort of scoffed till one day we were driving along there in the year 2001. We were going to my mother's birthday party in Pennsylvania, and I think it was Route 1, Delaware. And I leaned out. I said, Lou, stop the car. Lou, what was there?
Well, there were little numbered signs giving mileage numbers.
Not a mile,
in kilometers. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a boy, I studied kilometers. And the funny thing is, there was a time when I was a very young teacher, many, many decades ago, that they said, oh, we'll go metric in about a year or two. Well, here it is many years later. But what were those numbers doing there? Why kilometers?
Well, according to Al, the foreign troops were in here and they didn't know English well enough to use miles. So we saw those signs, and I don't think we reported on it then yet because we didn't have our program till October of 2003. But when we went back in December, the signs were gone. Now, we've seen some other signs that we think are very strange, too. In Maryland and in Pennsylvania, the blue evacuation signs. Now, what are these for? And one time in our telephone book, about 6 years ago, we looked in the yellow pages, and it had where you could call to report a biological incident. Now, is this the Rahm Emanuel scenario, that they're planning to have these catastrophes to bring in more control? We don't know. And when we're reviewing these things, like the strange Arkansas bird flu herding drill, the appearance of chronic wasting disease that Lou reported this summer, 2017, appearing in Bedford and Blair counties in western Pennsylvania, and the revelation of the American pastors who were recruited as clergy response teams, and they were to pacify the people in the event of martial law. You see, we have to bring up these things like Al Cuppett's metric signs, the blue evacuation signs. And now we have to look at a small incident. This may be actually very innocent, but we have to report it. There was a small town incident. Now, compared to Hurricane Harvey, this is just peanuts. But it was not reported in the national press. And before we get to that, if you appreciate some of this hard-hitting news that you will not get even from Sean Hannity, if you would like to help us, because we do need the help, you could send a little cash or you could send a money order. You cannot write a check to Lou or me. It must be made out to WWCR. But you could put something in an envelope if you would like to help us stay on the air. You can send it to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. We even accept some postage stamps. You know, every little effort helps us to stay on the air. Now, we're going to get to this incident. It was reported in the Bedford Gazette in Bedford, Pennsylvania, on August 16, 2017. And the headline was, County OK's Hindman Declaration. This town is spelled capital H-Y-N-D-M-A-N, and it's down in the southern part of western Pennsylvania, almost near the Maryland line. The Bedford County Commissioners Tuesday declared a disaster emergency for the area of Hindman Borough and Londonderry Township. The declaration comes just weeks after the August 2nd train derailment in the borough that forced the entire town and surrounding area to evacuate. When Lou saw that, he says, huh? What's this? What's going on here? You wouldn't think a whole little town would have to evacuate, would you, from a train derailment? Bedford County Emergency Services Director Dave Cubison said that the declaration was not something that necessarily meant more money for the town, township, or county, but its passage helps lift restrictions in getting essential equipment and personnel during this time. Cubison said that one of the biggest needs in the area is cell phone service and better access to the area. And then we move on, and we hear from another emergency services director, Hindman Borough Emergency Services Director Bob Walls, along with Cubison. Walls and Cubison went on to provide other updates on efforts at the scene. Both said that CSX is well into the recovery stage. Lou, did I hear that ding, ding, ding answer? We used to play this little game. When I would read something and it came to something like the NWO conspiracy, Lou would go ding. This was usually in the mainstream press, you see, because we could read between the lines like we're telling all of you to read. CSX, do you remember that little railroad that was talked about during the Bush years? Things that were supposedly connected with those people seeing the rail cars with the shackles in them, various things that were part of CSX. So there it is. It's interesting that that is the railroad. So they went on to say, quote, and these were the spokesman, Walls and Cubison, I think at the current time, the hazmat operation is coming to an end. Whoops! Lou, what do you picture?
And yeah, this is a great mystery. Why, when a train derails, do you evacuate a town? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is poison gas. Did that get released? Is that why they have the hazardous stuff, the hazmat team? It has me stumped, but it certainly sounds pretty scary.
And maybe it's as simple as they're saying they're going to assess the damage to the storm drain system, and they were going to be working on that. But the interesting part is, you know, this seems like another big effort to get people on board, maybe. CSX is covering all the costs involved with this scenario, and the finance area of the Pennsylvania Incident Management Team has worked with them. Compass credited CSX for, quote, stepping up to the plate and doing a good job as far as taking care of the people and the costs that are going to be associated with rebuilding things in the town, personal property of folks. And then they went on to talk about those good-hearted people in Bedford County, Pennsylvania. I know them very well. How the businesses, agencies, emergency responders, churches, bus drivers, charter school there helped. And, of course, they said that it's a tragic accident that occurred, and they were very thankful that these groups all worked together. They talked about it, they said. They prayed about it. And a lot of people were praying very hard, and the community came together. They don't know, even if this was an accident there, that their prayers are needed for President Donald Trump's safety, for the safety of his family, for the strengthening of true, good, patriotic Christian men around him. And for God to foil the plans of putting us into another quagmire, continuing that war in Afghanistan. We really do need to pray because we have been given a reprieve. And as Christians, we have to know all the time something is progressing, something is progressing. We heard Alex Jones say that it was the mark of the beast because there were two ministries, the Family Research Council and the D. James Kennedy Ministries, who were being targeted, and they were removed from commerce on Amazon because of their Christian viewpoints. Now, if that isn't the mark of the beast, what is? And we have that article here. Ministry sues SPLC and Amazon after equated with KKK and neo-Nazis. And we hope that we will get to covering the little girl, the Muslim little girl in Europe who was, not a Muslim little girl. They'd like to turn her into that. The little Christian girl who was put by the child services in the Muslim home where they removed her cross and put her into terrible distress. She wanted to go with her grandmother, but these London councils, these town councils, as Alex Jones says, it's been taken over an industry of child welfare workers. The Muslims are running it. And then they can get these children, and sometimes at age 9, they're put out on the street as prostitutes. This is a hideous thing, and it needs to be brought to light. If we don't get it all this week, we will be getting into it more. But now it's time to see what was going on with this stigmatization of American Christians. You see, it's like the beginning of Nazi Germany's scapegoating of the Jews. You know, at first they couldn't be in certain professions. Then they weren't allowed to open any business. Then their children couldn't go to the main schools. So here we have August 28th, True News. D. James Kennedy Ministries filed a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center and Amazon for defamation, religious discrimination, and trafficking in falsehood after SPLC labeled the ministry a hate group. A Christian TV ministry announced Wednesday that it is suing the Southern Poverty Law Center for labeling it a hate group like the Ku Klux Klan. Dr. Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministry, said he was suing the SPLC for listing DJKM in the infamous hate map, according to Christian Today. The SPLC's hate map lists DLKM as well as several other Christian and conservative advocacy groups alongside the KKK and neo-Nazis. Kennedy claimed that the SPLC illegally trafficked in false and misleading descriptions of DJKM. quote, "We embark today on a journey to right a terrible wrong," Kennedy said in the announcement of the lawsuit. "Those who knowingly label Christian ministries as hate groups solely for subscribing to the historic Christian faith are either woefully uninformed or willfully deceitful. In the case of the Southern Poverty Law Center, our lawsuit alleges the latter." A domestic terrorist actually used a hate map in 2012 as the inspiration for an attack against the Family Research Council. The FBI ceased using the group's list as a legitimate source after the attack. That means the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has always worked hand in hand with the New World Order. We know of a commentator who used to be on the radio, I believe now, who is deceased, a woman who had some connections perhaps with it and had Masonic connections. You know, a lot of the alternative media, the quote alternative media, is somewhat controlled. We know that's true, but this is a good step forward if the FBI, at least on the surface, stopped using this group. Quote, "These false and illegal characterizations have a chilling effect on the free exercise of religion and on religious free speech for all people of faith," Kennedy said. "After having given the SPLC an opportunity to retract, we have undertaken this legal action, seeking a trial by a jury of our peers to preserve our own rights under the law and to defend the religious free speech rights of all Americans." Kennedy said the lawsuit included Amazon and GuideStar, who allegedly dropped DJKM from their services, which included the Amazon Smile Foundation's charitable list, because of the ministry's listing on the hate map. Kennedy claimed the DJKM's removal from Amazon's charitable list limited the methods by which the ministry could receive donations. You see, they're frozen out, just like those Jews in Germany when the doctors could no longer be a doctor. They couldn't feed their families. So Satan's plan is to eventually bring on the mark of the beast, where Christians have no way to buy or sell except with the mark. Back to the article, retired Lieutenant General William G. Jerry Boykin, executive vice president of the Family Research Council, lauded Kennedy's lawsuit and decried the SPLC in a statement as, quote, "an attack dog on the left." "They are not a neutral arbiter that is calling balls and strikes," Boykin said. "They are on the field playing, pushing the agenda, and anyone who opposes them is slandered and slapped with a hate label. We believe Christians need and deserve their own global news network to keep the worldwide church informed and to offer Christians a positive alternative to the anti-Christian bigotry of the mainstream news media." And that's why Lou and I are here. We want to bring you the truth, and it's not just in that article. We've also had a report on Wednesday, August 30th, that there were some Christians merely praying at Berkeley, and we had the leftist women spitting on them and kicking them, and thankfully some of these Antifa protesters were arrested. We must push back. We must protect our own Christian remnant in every way we can. And now we want to get a little bit to this story about the little girl, if we can. And we're moving this apart here. The MPs demand an inquiry after this girl was forced to live with Muslim foster caregivers. And so this article was by Vanessa Allen and Eleanor Harding for the Daily Mail. The child, who is white, was born in Britain and has a UK passport and was allegedly not allowed to eat a spaghetti carbonara prepared by her birth mother because it contained bacon. The foster parent was said to have stated, "European women are stupid and alcoholic, and Christmas and Easter are stupid," prompting questions over cultural attitudes in her foster homes. And her current foster mother wears a burqa in public, which completely hides her face. These placements were arranged by Tower Hamlets Council in East London, where children's services were criticized by Ofsted earlier this year. Inspectors rated the council's children's services inadequate and said there was an entrenched culture of noncompliance with basic social work standards. Last night, MP said the five-year-old's apparent distress over her foster homes raised disturbing questions over the council's decision to place an English-speaking Christian child in Muslim households. She should be in a foster home where her religious and cultural background would be respected, said MP Shalesh Vera. And they went on, other people talking. Philip Hollabone, Tory MP, said, what if it were a Muslim girl being looked after by a Christian couple, and they insisted she deny her Muslim upbringing and become a Christian? How would the Muslim community feel about that? It seems to me the original heritage of the child ought to be respected by the foster family. Whatever their own faith happens to be, the council needs to review this case urgently. Andrew Bridgen, Tory MP for Northwest Leicestershire, said, this just feels wrong. This is the wrong decision for the long-term welfare of the child. We hope that some Brits are starting to wake up, that their country is gone, because this is an area that where this happened. I think now it's only, I had a little note here, I think it's 30%. Yes, here it is. The 2011 census found 31% of Tower Hamlets' population was white British, compared with 80% nationwide. Now, do you see what happens when the population shifts? If we allow all of these Muslims to come in here, you and I will lose control in our little communities. That's what's happened there to the white Brits with the Western culture. They no longer have the power. It's almost a no-go zone, isn't it, Lou? Like those other zones where the police won't go in.
Yes, unfortunately, that's just what it is. The whole community is so largely Muslim that they can make the laws practically that they want. They can discriminate, and of course, if they were discriminated against, they would be screaming bloody murder. But they do it because they have the power with the numbers, unless a higher court overrules them, which I hope is what's happening here.
You tried to get an article, and it strangely disappeared quickly, that the situation might have been resolved. So we'll have to watch this. I hope that was true, that the child was put back with the grandmother or something like that. Alex Jones has a lot of good information on this at InfoWars. First of all, Paul Joseph Watson lives in London. He sees this all around where he lives all the time. So the report of these town councils, the control, is that these child welfare groups are staffed by Muslims, and that this was in the Sunday Times of London, too, and that these Christian children are starting to be placed with the Muslims. And we heard something to the effect that the mayor, who is a Muslim mayor, was removed. We're not certain about this, that he was removed after, quote, using undue influence. So we have to find out about that. And it's as long as we try to fight for our Christian roots, and we pray to God, I believe he will help America not to become this hellhole that London is becoming. And when you think about these little girls, that they're part of this terrible network, and they're put out on the street, some of them to be prostitutes, this is really a terrible thing. And it's kind of like this council being run by Muslims. Alex Jones said it was like an imperial judiciary, just like in Nazi Germany. This council, you see, has autocratic control. And this child, age five, did you hear that, is just under this terrible distress. So we really don't want to see this happen. But, you know, you have to really watch the signs. And those who are the Jew haters won't care about this, who listen to our program or who don't listen. They can listen to another program where they hear such strange things as Hillary Clinton was a Mossad agent. I mean, it's to the point where it's really laughable. But Way of Life, David Cloud has an article, August 25th, Barcelona's chief rabbi says Jews are doomed in Europe. And this is a big warning. The Times of Israel, the Jewish community in Barcelona is doomed because because authorities in Spain do not want to confront radical Islam. The chief rabbi of Barcelona warned on Friday, a day after the deadly car ramming attack in the city. Rabbi Meir Barhen has been encouraging his congregants to leave Spain, which he called during an interview with ITA, not sure whether that's ITA or JTA, a hub of Islamist terror for all of Europe for years before the attacks Thursday and Friday, he said. At last, 14 victims, I guess there were 14 victims and five suspected terrorists who were killed in Barcelona in the resort town of Cambrils, 75 miles south of the city. Jews are not here permanently, he said of the city and region. Quote, I tell my congregants, don't think we're here for good, and I encourage them to buy property in Israel. This place is lost. Don't repeat the mistake of Algerian Jews, of Venezuelan Jews. Better get out early than late. Part of the problem exposed by the attacks, Barhen said, is the presence of a large Muslim community with, quote, radical fringes. Once these people are living among you, he said of terrorists and their supporters, it's very difficult to get rid of them. They only get stronger. He also said this applied to Europe as a whole. Europe is lost, he said. You know, we need to pray for Europe. I had Lou looking for someone. I had a pen pal when I was a very young person named Delys Lewis, D-I-L-Y-S Lewis. He found two, and they had passed away. There were obituaries. I actually thought of trying to get in touch with her to see what her life is like now. Is she in one of those turning into Muslim enclaves? What do we want in America? Do we want to have Christianity with power? Do we want the Joel Osteen name it and claim it? Or do we want to give of ourselves in our lives? God will bring to you everyone he wants you to help or witness to. It's so important. And if some people want to go to our website, they can listen to our programs, the archival programs at thedividedkingdom.org. Yes, we love all of you, and we pray for that person in Pittsburgh who has the satanic attacks. Oh, God, release that person from the attacks. He will heal your diseases. He will help you with your money, but he won't guarantee the prosperity gospel will make you rich. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and have a good week. Have a blessed week. And know that Jesus is more powerful than any of these rulers that God laughs at when they think they are supreme and they will never die. Good night.